The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
From Eric Slater, creator of Epic Fails of History, comes a bold new vision of the future in his latest book, 2299. 2299 is a sci-fi noir about a detective on the edge of the abyss. While investigating a cold case on Vanaheim, a space station orbiting Neptune, Desmond Faust finds himself ensnared in a web of lies and murder. The closer he gets to discovering the truth, the more aware he becomes that he might not leave this place alive. Eric Slater's 2299 is available now on Amazon.
Welcome to the RPG After Years, your weekly show covering all things RPGs from the past, present, and future. This is episode 134. I'm your co-host, Scott.
And I'm Rich.
Wow, my Rich impression is terrible. That's weird, isn't it? We're going to be talking about the final Phantasy Star 4 Club segment, but it's just me today. I'll talk about that more in a sec. That's right. Things went weird this week, and Rich and I just couldn't find a time to record together. But we also have a deadline of when this show, our final episode that we're supposed to be leaving. So I've never actually done a solo podcast before, so bear with me. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm sure the end result is going to be bad, but I do feel an obligation to finish my duties for this show, which means also finishing the RPG Club. But before we do that, let's get some quick show updates. Okay, so the Phantasy Star 4 RPG Club is now over. Well, it's concluded. Everybody should have finished the game by now. The checkpoint was to finish the game by Sunday, November 20th. As of this recording, it is the 21st, so hopefully everybody finished it. Hopefully everybody at least didn't hate it or whatever. But as far as the next RPG Club game goes, like I said, Rich and I will not be directly involved in the proceedings of that necessarily, and Bill's going to be taking over. So we only got a couple more episodes of the show left after this one, where Rich and I will be full-time hosts. But Bill is going to continue the RPG Club. If you don't know what that is, the RPG Club is basically, it's like a book club for RPGs, in which we, along with the community, play the same RPG at the same time, and have deadlines and checkpoints and everything, just like a real book club. They're the patrons vote and nominate on the games. So pretty soon, in a couple weeks, nominations are going to begin. I know Bill has set a deadline, but I don't have that in front of me. So check out our Discord if you want all the details. I'm excited to see what it's going to be. There's a chance I might play along. I'm just done with my full-time hosting duties, if that makes sense. I think that's it for show updates. Again, so Rich is actually the one who prepared this doc that I'm looking at to help facilitate this episode. So I'm going to do my best to try and make it happen. I feel really weird doing this solo, by the way. Like, where am I? Who am I? I don't know. Nor does anyone else. But we're going to try it. Without further ado, let's convene the club.
All right, everyone. Quiet down. All rise. We're here today to bring to order the next session of the RPG Club. All in favor? All opposed? And looks like the ayes have it. Then let the RPG Club commence!
Okay, so again, the idea this time was to basically finish the game, and I'm glad Rich did a good job with the doc on this final part. I don't even know if he finished it, but I finished it, and yet I'm reading some of this stuff. It's like, oh man, I barely remember that. So I'm glad the game's over. I think it maybe overstayed its welcome slightly. Like, by the time it was over, I was like, I'm glad it's over, you know? But overall, I would say I liked the game. I enjoyed it. I just thought it was a little boring at times. It's like it plays exactly like a JRPG always has been played. It's just like so classical. And although there are some cool twists and turns in the story, even in this segment, it just kind of feels like the game is there, you know? Like, it's not actively good. It's not actively bad. It just sort of exists. So that's a little preview of what my thoughts will be when we do the review. But I know in the Discord there were some dissenting opinions. Like, there were people that feel the same as me. There were a couple people that actively hated it, if I recall. But then there were also a couple people like Bill and Z that thought it was really great. You know, other people that have played other Phantasy Star games. So I thought that was interesting. But jumping into what actually happened in this segment, let's see, where did the last segment end off? So they were on Desolus, right? And I think Raha had just fallen ill, and then they went to the factory to try and, or they went to the tower to try and fix things. So yeah, they were en route to Gumbius Temple, right? So you go back there. And as the story progresses, Rune explains how the Dark Force is still around even after defeating it. So the Dark Force is like a dark god that you've defeated over and over, but it's got so much malice and revenge that it just can't go away. The Dark Force comes back like every 1,000 years and just causes havoc in the Algo system. So it's like this cyclical thing. And especially in this last segment, I was already feeling this way a little bit, but it becomes super clear that there's a lot of fan service going on for people who have played other Phantasy Star games. You know, these huge dungeon callbacks and scenes. And it's one of those games where you can play start at number 4 in the series, but you're going to get, if you're a fan of the series, you're going to get more out of it from having played 1 and 2 at first. It's my understanding that Phantasy Star 3 is kind of the black sheep of the series, and y'all could go back and listen to Bill and Brett's review about that from a few weeks ago. So, you find out that Rune is actually the 5th generation Lutz, and he passes on the knowledge every generation, and Lutz being Noah or a character from another, you know, Phantasy Star. But this time, Rune has chosen Chaz as his champion for some reason. They go back to Gumbius Temple, you grab the Eclipse Torch that you need to find the Dark Force, it's a long dungeon, and then right as you are talking to like the people who run the temple, they're suddenly, they're like, no, you can't take it because it's a sacred treasure, and then like immediately the bad guys show up and take it, and it's just like 3 random robed wizard guys. And then after that, the priests are like, okay, well, you can have it if you get it back. It's like, okay. I just thought that was kind of a silly part. After they take off with the torch, Chaz talks to Rune about the where and what the air castle is. It's like apparently a dungeon that came directly from a past Phantasy Star game. It used to be on Parma, which is the planet where all the human characters are from. They're called Parmanians, but it exploded in one of the games. But the air castle survives. So the air castle, it's not really the final dungeon, but I kind of think of it that way. It's this gigantic, like just huge ass dungeon with winding paths and multiple layers. It takes forever to get through. Bill told me that even though one of the other Phantasy Star games had like 3D dungeons, which I don't really understand what that even means, that he could tell it was like a directly based on, you know, the past dungeon, which is a cool idea. So you go to the you finally get to the basement of the castle, and you meet Lashiek. If I don't know if I'm saying that right, and so Rune asks why Lashiek has returned and the main cause of it, and so Lashiek, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, by the way, wants revenge on all who would follow Rune. And again, apparently Lashiek is the like a villain, like a character back from another Phantasy Star. It's all lost on me, but he wants to cut the throats of the world, he says, I believe. He won't let's get the Eclipse Torch, but at that moment, Rika leaps into action and nabs it. So good job, Rika. I guess you finally justified why you're here. Rika was just kind of like a nothing character to me for most of the game, y'all. And then the air castle crumbles away. So you move on. And you learn that the defeat of Lashiek and his cryptic message has the team curious on who he is. There's several cutscenes during this part. So you use the Eclipse Torch to burn the trees away near Gumbia's temple, which uncovers the Garuberk Tower from the overgrown plants. And at this point, I'm just like, I knew we were after the Eclipse Torch, but I forgot why. It felt like so long ago. Like, oh yeah, the trees that we needed to get past. I thought we did that already. So you go through Garuberk Tower, yet another dungeon. You find a monster at the end, of course. But it's like another bigger dark force, if I remember right. And the group starts wondering like why it's like not like the one that they fought in Karan. So apparently there's like several dark forces, you know, hanging out on the planet and just doing their thing, which is wreck shit and destroy the environment and all that. So you kill this dark force, Garuberk Tower falls, and so that stops the black wave energy wave, which is apparently going to eventually kill the entire solar system, if I remember how this plot beat goes. The group say their goodbyes to Kira and Chaz. To Kira, by the way, I know some of you guys like Kira. I liked her boomerangs, but out of all the characters in this damn game, I'm like, what? She's so nothing. She doesn't do anything. Her existence is not justified. But anyway, so Chaz has doubts that he is doing good and will ever grow up. And then after that, the snowstorm is gone. So I know some people in the Discord really disliked Chaz. I didn't really care for him much myself either. But he is pretty whiny. However, I appreciated that they tried to give Chaz like this character arc where he learns how to be a true hero or whatever. It's just interesting to not just have like a straightforward, silent main character. Some of y'all don't appreciate a character arc. So like sometimes the character arc is about turning from, you know, an annoying or even bad person into somebody worthy of, you know, being the hero or maturing, you know? Just my opinion. So Rune finds the old Desolician bishop and he explains that there's an ultimate force that is in control. It's called the profound darkness. It's like, is this the darkest dark force or is this, okay. It's dark force is already kind of like a silly name, but now it's the profound darkness, which also feels like a very silly name to me. But the profound darkness is looking for Rekros. And the Rekros is a place where all the secret answers of the universe lie. And as I'm reading this plot recap, I can tell it's sort of written in Rich's own words because there's like caps and exclamation marks everywhere. I know that I feel like he's also like tongue in cheek making fun of the game here, but okay. I'm assuming Recross was also mentioned in a past game, but I don't know. but when they find the profound darkness, they'll need the Aeroprism to like shed light on how to get there, which is another, you know, MacGuffin. So they generate the first generation LUTs hit it back on Motavia in a place called the Soldier's Temple. So you go back to Motavia, the first planet. And it is cool like going back and seeing your first planet again, finally. But you got to get into the Soldier's Temple. And I think at some point you even get something called the Hydrofoil, which is yet another like tank vehicle, but this one can cross over water. And so at this point, now that you're back in Motavia and you have the Hydrofoil, you can go do the rest of the side quests if you so choose. There was only one that I thought was any good. It looks like a full ass dungeon, but I'm just glad the game kept itself in check and only had, you know, like the 8 or 12 side quests or however many they were, and that's it. So you go to the Soldier's Temple and you meet a new character named Seth, and he is a traveling archaeologist, and he just comes out of nowhere, really. It's like this random, not old man, but like middle-aged man. He's like, hey, can I come with you? And for some reason, the party, especially Chaz, is like kind of unfriendly to him. Like, oh my God, how can we just have to take this man along with us? And it's very obvious that this man is not sticking around for long. Like something's going on with him. But you go through the temple and Seth asks questions about how the party can be so strong, and he wishes he could be that strong. And I'm like, my brother, you're doing pretty decent in battle. But at the end, you find the Aeroprism, and Rune has Chaz hold it to the sky, and then a beam of light blasts into the sky. And apparently the Recross is at the end of this light. However, just then, Seth reveals himself to be Dark Force. Rune couldn't see that he was using a human as a disguise for some reason. But here you have to fight Dark Force yet again. It's kind of a tricky, more difficult boss fight, if I remember right. But so you defeat Dark Force and it explodes, and Rich is like, what is this, like the 7th time in these notes? It's not the 7th, but and Rune states that it's the last time they will see Dark Force. They need to go to Recross now because the followers of the Dark Force know where it is now, and so they got to beat it there. So you blast off into the sky, and Ren tells you that the pace they're going, they will be leaving the Algo system, and then you end up on Recross, which Recross is definitely by far the smallest planet of all the ones that we've been to. It's only got like the main, like the spaceport, and then 3 towers on it, I believe. So this is the final planet. The enemies here are quite a step up in difficulty. You got to watch out for the 3 green wizard enemies. They're just random encounters, but they wrecked me. I had to use the rewind a few times, and you just don't expect. Like, I feel like I was over-leveled. I don't remember what level I was at, but like I was surprised that the main mobs were giving me a run for my money, you know? So they land into the planet, and they hear a voice call out to them named Le Roof, which I guess you could sort of think of as like some kind of godlike figure. He says that the heroes are the protectors, you know, warriors of light bullshit. So you have to go to the strength tower and courage tower to prove themselves. I thought it was interesting here because they were like, why do we got to prove ourselves? And he was like, or Layla Roof is like, don't worry, there's a point to this, apparently. So you go to these 2 towers. It's 2 more towers. They're not that difficult. You just kind of work your way through some more dungeons and you get the, I can't even remember what the reason we have to go here is, but you get like a strength key and a courage key. And so you go back to the spaceport, and Le Roof explains what happened and how the profound darkness created everything, and it was defeated and banished by the great light. Every 1,000 years, the seal weakens, and that time is now. So the followers of the profound darkness are going to go and, you know, revive the profound darkness, and then the universe is fucked. LaRue states that someone will either defeat it or have to keep it locked up, and the only way to do this is to go and kill it. And in order to do that, they need the Rings of the Stars, which, damn, I don't even remember that. What is the Ring of the Star? So Chaz asks, why doesn't the Great Light come and take care of it? And LaRue explains that he is long gone to another system and can't help. So Chaz is like, why the fuck do I got to fight for this god who's not even here to protect us? Like, it's not my job. He's like, I'm not the hero. I can't be the quote unquote protector. He doesn't want the fate of everything to be on him. However, what Chaz forgot is that Space Jesus is still with us, and Rune kind of gives him a pep talk and says he wants to take Chaz to meet someone. So you go through another dungeon and you get the Elistion sword, which you can just think of as like the magical, you know, master sword that you can actually defeat the profound darkness with. They get through the area and Chaz sees a vision that shows like past characters fighting Dark Force. You see a bunch of like specters of characters from past Phantasy Star games, but also Alice, which is, it's cool. Like I sort of like felt the emotion I was supposed to be feeling in this moment. I just know if I had played them other games, I would be like, oh, this is so cool. At least if I liked the other games anyway. And it was nice seeing Alice again. I'm also just remembering one of the side quests has you fight a doppelganger of Alice, which is also a cool part. Or was that to get the Elistion sword? And I'm pretty sure that was a side quest. Anyway, so now Chaz has realized he's the hero. And it's kind of weird because I don't really get the jump of logic how Chaz was like, why do I fight for this god? And then he's like, well, I guess I got to. It's like kind of, what was the point? But you go back to Matavia yet again, or maybe it's somewhere else. I don't remember, I guess. And all the characters are waiting for you, like all the still living characters, which is everybody but Alice. You know, you got Han and Demi and who else? Raha, he's okay now, magically. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, though. Han, Raha, let me look up the fucking characters of this game. Because a lot of them are really forgettable. So we got, oh, Kira. See, I told you guys, very forgettable. And then Grease as well, who, it's been so long since we had dealt with Grease's thing. I'm just like, huh, that guy again, huh? But anyway, the really cool thing about this part, though, is that, you know, we've been having only four characters for quite a while now. It's like Chaz, Rika, Rune, and Rin. And it lets you pick out of all your old characters which character you want to take to like the final dungeon and in game, which is really cool because even like they all have their different, you know, perks and drawbacks, I would say. And then it's even cool enough to let you switch them out if you want to. Like if you want to use X person for some side quests and then use somebody else for the side quests, you can, or the main quest. So, yep, everybody's back together. Pick your character. I picked Han. I wonder who Rich picked. I picked Han because even though I didn't feel like he was a particularly useful character in battle, especially compared to some of the others, he was like one of the only characters in the game that I actively liked. Kind of. And y'all, I think I mentioned like I felt personally offended when we lost Alice and Han at the same time. But so you go up there, and of course this final dungeon, oh my god, it looked so bad. It was painful to look at. Like literally I couldn't look at it, and I'm not particularly successful to this type of thing. But if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, I don't know why you would be, but it's like the Windows, the 94 screensaver meets the Earthbound background, battle background from hell. I bet this, I wouldn't be surprised if this actually put some people in the hospital, to be honest. Like, I was streaming it, of course, and I had to like sort of side-eye it to even look at what I was doing. But yeah, it was terrible. It was more bearable in battle, surprisingly, but on that main field, holy hell. That's almost enough to take off like a point from the visuals just because of this final dungeon. I don't know. We'll talk about it. But you do this three phase boss battle with the profound darkness, and it's really like a pretty cool boss battle. It has three phases, of course. Each phase or form is more terrifying than the last. It gets bigger and bigger. And it's pretty challenging, too. Like, it starts using Majid, which is like an ultimate AoE destruction spell on you that really does wreck your team if you're not being careful. There's another side quest not related to the Hunter's Guild that you can do to get that spell as well. It's super useful, but damn, it hurt. But yeah, so you defeat the boss, and then the group all says their goodbyes to each other, and that is the end of Phantasy Star. Chaz marries Rika, you get robot love, and just a lot of stuff happens. Like I said, overall, I'm a little lukewarm on this game, but I did like have a generally an okay time playing it. And we'll talk about that more on the review, which is next week. But let's get into the listener feedback. What we got here? Okay, so we have Disa. Okay, Disa says, finished. The last fight went pretty well. Had no real issues except getting close with the Majid attack once. Yeah, I mentioned that too. All in all, I definitely warmed up to the game during this last segment. I thought the story wrapped up the series as well, so that was good. Yeah, it did. It definitely did feel like a nice, pretty bow on the end, right? She says, other positives were the graphics and some really nice areas close to the end, minus the last dungeon. Were they trying to deliberately give players epilepsy? Yeah, like, what was that? I just don't get it. She goes on to say, the battle system was nice too, and I enjoyed some of the more powerful spells and skills. There was also some things I absolutely didn't enjoy, which really lowered my score on this game. While the intro song is a solid 10 out of 10, and I could listen to it all day, it is a pretty good song, I'll admit. It really gets me pumped for the adventure. A lot of the other songs were so unbearable to my ears, I had to turn it off sound, put on a podcast, and play that way. That also means it had less impact as I was less immersed in those parts. Yeah, the soundtrack's like kind of take it or leave it for me. The selling and buying was cumbersome, and it didn't help that the shop music made me extremely stressed and wanting to get out. You know, I had people in my stream complaining about that too. Like, this is annoying me. Can you leave? Again, I had to turn off the sound. There's a small possibility that there was emulation sound issues, but I don't think so, really. I think that's just the Genesis sound chip, honestly. All in all, those things definitely put a damper on the experience, but I also see why the game is well-loved. Okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Disa. You know, if Disa's critical, then there's problems. Frost says, completed at level 40 in 11 hours. Thanks, fast forward, but good God. Oh, man, I might have spent 11 hours in each segment, Frost. I'd have to go look, but damn, have to remember to look that up. Frost continues, more generic RPG action. Go here, get this, go there, get that. Hey, look, random guy who just happens to show up when we're trying to get the final MacGuffin and overly praises us. He can't be evil, right? Not at all. The Edge made my... Yeah, okay, so the final dungeon's name was The Edge. The Edge made my eyes bleed. Raha is stupid OP with the ability to heal everyone, even the android, and has the only spell in the game that restores TP. Maybe I should have used Raha. For a JRPG boss with three forms, there wasn't much difference between them. I just kept attacking and healing until it was dead, with the occasional need to rebuff my party with agility and barrier. Yeah, you can definitely get into a cycle with this final boss that makes it feel... He just has a ton of HP, man. It takes forever. Frost continues, overall thought on the story... Playing this game without having played the first three put me in the role of Chaz. Playing it after completing the first three probably puts you in the role of Rune. Okay, so you're saying like as far as like your perspective of the story. Yeah. LZ says, it's hard to be completely objective because I've been a big fan of the series since day one. I sympathize and even agree with a lot of the complaints, but at the end of the day, I still think this game is fantastic. Maybe it doesn't hold up as well as some of the other games of the era. Final Fantasy IV and VI are probably its closest contemporaries. At the time, it definitely stood apart, and I still say it's the best JRPG on the Genesis. I'm willing to be proved wrong if someone can name a better one. Well, for me, when I think of RPGs, I can't even think of another Genesis one. So they go on to say, the manga cutscenes are phenomenal at the time when compared to 4 and 6's use of storytelling. And the fact Phantasy Star 4 holds all the past games in the series with absolute reverence and adheres to continuity was something that was completely absent from JRPGs at the time. It is very similar to FF9 in how it calls back to all the elements and moments of the previous games. I get it, playing it today might feel like it's dated and rote, but back then, it was death to shit. There's a reason why it's on a lot of the top JRPGs of all time lists. It would have been really cool if they made a new Phantasy Star because the setting is so unique and has so much potential. It could have been Sega's Dragon Warrior, but now with Ryoko Kodama gone, I'm not sure it will ever happen. And then online games were cool and all, but nah, that ain't my Phantasy Star. See? That ain't my Phantasy Star. I get that, but I also think that's interesting because I know some people that would fucking die on the cross for, you know, Phantasy Star Online. So, really love it. Thanks for the feedback, LZ. Okay, JS says, the game picked up a little this segment. There were interesting dungeons. I started to pick up all the skills necessary to do some of the cool combo. Y'all, I didn't even realize that combos were a thing until at some point in this segment. I just happened to luck out and trigger some of them, and I was like, wait a minute. Some of the regular encounters upped the difficulty, so I couldn't just mash attack. The green wizards were a bit too much. Phantasy Star's version of Tomberries are the birds that jump from Zelda 2. I'm having, like, traumatic flashbacks right now. I'm like that Chihuahua meme. The final boss was kind of meh, and I couldn't bring myself to care about any of these characters too much to care about the ending. By the end, this was a pretty middle-of-the-road JRPG. Might be there with Final Fantasy 2. I think I kind of feel the same way as you in general about this, JS. We're on the same page here. But you didn't have to bring that up. All right, and finally, give me just a second to get this pulled up. We've got some audio feedback from Caslow25. They have a YouTube channel where they post their thoughts if you want to see more of their content. Let's listen.
I'm not sure what to say that I haven't said in the previous segments. This section is a lot more the same, except that we get some visually crazy dungeons in the Garabak Tower and the final dungeon. We also get a lot of interesting side quests involving more of the AI in the Algo system, and for Chaz to get some resolution with Alice and receive his ultimate skill. Also, it was interesting to discover an entirely new system during the final boss. Apparently, if you perform the right combination of skills or spells between characters, they will do combo attacks. I guess you miss this when you just melee attack most non-boss encounters. Ultimately, I thought this was an average RPG for its era. It's clearly outshined by games like Dragon Quest V and Lunar, but it did serve as a nice wrap-up of the OG Phantasy Star series. I will say, I love the comic book style to cutscenes, and I wish an indie would take that style and run with it. I know games like Cosmic Star Heroine has sprite art cutscenes, but they're full-on animated scenes and not the comic panel that Phantasy Star uses. It really needs to make a comeback.
Appreciate your thoughts, Caslow. I think I tend to agree with you, although, as I've gone over, there are some dissenting opinions in our club. So thanks everybody for submitting feedback. Overall, I'd say I'm glad I played the game, but it also, I would have been fine missing out on it too. So, you know how it goes. But okay, we are going to move on to our outro. That was OC Remix number 89, Phantasy Star 4 Millennial by DJ Pretzel. You can find that on YouTube or at OC Remix. But yeah, that's it. The final RPG club has come, well, the final one that I'm hosting, I think, is coming to a close. Sorry again, everybody, that there was no Rich and it was just me ranting and rambling. Sorry, I don't remember the game, like the specific bits as well as I normally would. A lot of it just kind of flies right over you when you're playing games this old. As far as next week goes, as a reminder, we will be doing the Phantasy Star 4 review. We should have scores from Bill. We'll have scores from myself and Rich as well, of course, assuming everything goes to plan. And then the following week will be our final official episode. So, not for the podcast, but from Rich and myself. And I don't know exactly what we're going to do. We'll probably do like one last game catch up, one last news segment. Bill is supposed to be on the episode with us as well. We'll probably reminisce, maybe talk about, you know, how 2022 was to us as RPG fans and what we can look forward to in 2023. So thank you guys again for putting up with me today. As far as the RPG Club goes, we're between games right now, and there will be nominations at some point soon. Check out the Discord for more info on that. Launching Rat Plugs, please rate and review us on Spotify. It's helpful, or whatever podcasting service you may be using. The podcast will go on. And tell your friends. We also have a Patreon. You can get early episode access and ad-free episodes. There's a bunch of extra reviews Corey and I did of non-RPGs early on. You can get access to the nominations and the voting for the RPG Club. And who knows what else Bill's going to come up with in the coming months now that I'm turning the keys back over to him. And much more. You can find all that at patreon.com/RPGAfterYears for now. Speaking of reaching out to us, you can email us if you've got any questions and feedback. That's at rpgafteryears@gmail.com. I've also mentioned it a few times, but we do have a Discord, and it's where a bunch of RPG fans hang out. It's a good time. My favorite people on the internet are in there. You can check that out. The link to that is in the show notes or our pinned tweet on Twitter, assuming Twitter is still around. As far as reaching out to us on Twitter, the show is at RPG Years. If you want to reach out to me, I'm at the Scott Spot. I normally don't say the Twitter handles of people that aren't here on the episode, but Rich did prep this doc, so I'll give him a shout out. He's at Hellblue1569. That was weird that I had to say that this time. And okay, I think that's going to do us for episode 134. Thank you, everybody, who played along with us playing this Genesis RPG, Phantasy Star 4. Looking forward to seeing how the review goes, and it's going to be great. I'll see you for that in episode 135 next week. But until then, I'm Scott. And we'll catch you next time for the RPG After Years. Bye.